Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Before this legislative session kicked off, we caught up with members of the freshman class of lawmakers for 2017. Dan Ahlers, of course, has experience in PEER, but he returned to the State House this year after a break. Representing District 25, he's from Del Rapids. He's joining us now on the line from PEER. Dan, welcome back.
Morning.
All right. Have you enjoyed the session again? Is it good to be back in the State House?
It is. I really do enjoy it. I enjoy representing the people of District 25. I have a very supportive community, and I enjoy the dialogue and getting out there and working with constituents to help them solve their issues. So it's very rewarding.
And I'm sure many people come from districts like this, but I remember when we spoke before, your community really gives you some pretty quick feedback, pretty honest feedback. What sort of things did you hear from the folks of District 25 during the session that you were able to sort of, you know, incorporate into the work that you were doing in PEER, you know, almost immediately?
Well, we had a handful of bills dealing with sales tax remittance. So, you know, my local businesses have contacted me, you know, just to talk about, you know, their feelings on it, what they thought. Sometimes I would email them if I had something that came across, and that way they get the information out. I've worked really close with our cities and our school districts, you know, just sharing information and getting feedback. I would say the probably the biggest thing right now has been people walking up to me at the gas station, the grocery store, and they're asking me about the half penny sales tax. Mm-hmm. And is it really going to education? And that's probably been the biggest concern. A lot of people are saying, you know, I don't want it to be like video lottery. I remember what happened with video lottery and what they told us it was going to. Is this going to happen with this half penny sales tax?
All right. Is the half penny sales tax really going toward education, Dan? How are you answering that question?
Well, as of yesterday, no. Senate Bill 35 stripped the language out that designated that half-penny sales tax. You know, 63% of it was supposed to go to schools, and then the rest was supposed to go to property tax reduction, and then a small portion to the tech schools because they're part of that K-12 education component. But they stripped that language out yesterday, and we're going back on our commitment to the voters and to education.
All right, so just to be very clear, Dan, and I know that you have a you're on the Appropriations Committee, you have a finance background. Last time we talked, I said explain all how this money gets moved around. So let's get into the weeds a little bit. We're talking about the education reform package that was created just last session, right? To give teachers an increase in pay. Is that, are we on the same page here?
Correct.
Okay, raise the sales.
Senate Bill 131 was one of them, and 1182 was one of the other pieces.
All right, we raised the sales tax was raised by 0.5 cent, and there was language in there that has been stripped, so that money can go where now?
It goes straight into the general fund, and it can be spent on anything. And I think the intention, as of right now, even though there are constant moving parts, the intention now is to use that to help balance the state's budget.
So the advantages of that or the reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, we're basing this deficit off of budget or off of revenue projections. So we're basically, we use data. It's not a complete guess, but we're speculating what the economy is going to be like for fiscal year 18, which starts July 1st. Mm-hmm. And we're planning that 12 months out. And based on our projections, we have a deficit. So what we've done is we've gone through and looked at all of the increases that were proposed for the fiscal year 18. We've taken most of those out. There are a few priorities that, you know, we've identified, like intensive meth treatment, things that we know need to get funded. We have problems that we need to address. But by and large, most increases have been taken out, and now we're looking for additional cuts to make. And by not obligating that money to education like we initially promised, we get there. But we do have other funds that we could be using in the short term to help address this situation. You know, for budget deficits, we have the reserve fund, and we can take some additional dollars out of there to help carry us over till we get a better look. You know, historically, we tend to find that we have about $10 million a year that gets turned back to the state into the general fund. So, you know, we have to project conservatively, and usually we find additional dollars in the end. And I think that we should commit those dollars back to education.
Does this mean the teachers don't get the raises they expected, or does this show up in different ways?
Well, without any increase, it's going to impact any additional costs the schools incur with just the general everyday business, materials, books, that kind of stuff. But you also, part of what was passed last year was to target a certain number of dollars towards teacher pay. By doing that, the plan was each and every year we would increase towards a target number. It's an average, and this year, had we done the increase, it would have been $48,985 as a target. Now, not everybody hits that, but, you know, you're setting goals to have a teacher average at that number so that we are competitive with the surrounding states. By not dedicating those dollars, what will happen now is we will fall behind our surrounding states, and we will be right back where we were with that, with teachers being offered better money in surrounding states and having a hard time attracting new teachers into the field in South Dakota.
Hmm. Why were the budget deficit projections so far off?
Well, part of the problem is right now we have we've had a declining ag economy. Commodity prices have been low, so farmers aren't out buying new equipment. They're fixing equipment. They're holding grain, waiting for better prices. There's a lot of factors. So ag, and we believe that that has flattened out, but we don't expect to see any increased spending from the ag community. And that comes from those of us that talk to people in ag, or know people in ag, or know people in ag business. And we're not seeing that. The economists are telling us that it's going to remain flat. So that's a big driver. The second portion of that is when you look at our consumer goods, when you go shopping, I mean, people are shopping, you see the stores full in Sioux Falls, and you're like, well, how could it be down? Well, what you're seeing is a deflation in consumer goods. And go to McDonald's, for example. This is a really good example. The McPick 2, you get two items for $2. Hmm. Well, normally the McPick 2 is two items for $5. So instead of collecting 37 cents in sales tax, we're now collecting 15 cents. So, and since we balance most of our budget with sales tax dollars, you know, those two factors can really impact your overall revenues.
When we look at a collection of sales tax from companies like Amazon and other online distributors, should we be optimistic or hopeful, or should we be cautious about waiting for those, that windfall to roll into the state?
We did factor Amazon into our revenues for this year. Huh. It's really difficult because we don't get any numbers from them. We're having to guess again. They don't give us any kind of information. All we can go by are the North American sales. So we don't even have the United States sales. So we have to do a lot of calculating and looking at how things break down. But basically, we figured in between 10 and 12 million. Here's what complicates that. So they'll tell you 40% of online sales come from Amazon, but not all of those goods come from Amazon. So you have a store located in Colorado. It could be a small business like my own, and you go online and you order a movie from them, and they're going to ship it to you, but Amazon's the pass-through. You're not really buying it from Amazon. So in that case, that transaction, sales tax is not collected. Hmm. If you're buying directly from an Amazon warehouse, Amazon is going to collect that tax. So there's still, we won't know. In fact, we won't get the first numbers from Amazon, as far as what that impact will be until April, because the February sales tax will be remitted March 20th.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dan Ahlers. He's calling in from Pierre. He's representing District 25. And so, Dan, how does this work then? You have to, you know, as a lawmaker, you wrap up your work there. What do you have to get done before you leave? Because this is, you know, we're in the final days here.
Well, primarily, most of the action right now is in the Appropriations Committee. There's still a lot of moving parts. Every time we think we're getting close, we're getting more information, and we're going back and changing numbers, looking to make an additional cut, or we find a cut that we requested but we can't make for a variety of factors. So we're really deep in that process right now. Beyond that, there's a few conference committees that happen. Those conference committees are when there's a disagreement. There's an amendment made in one house on a bill, and the other house doesn't concur, so then it goes to a conference committee to sort out differences. A little bit of that going on. A few rule changes for next year are being worked out today, but primarily it's the budget.
And then when something like those Amazon numbers come through in April, you're already back in Del Rapids, right?
We are. Now, the Appropriations Committee does meet periodically through the summer and fall months. So we'll continue to receive and collect data. There's a good chance that when we come back in next session, we'll make adjustments to this fiscal year 18 budget that we're working on now, just as we are doing with the fiscal year 17 this session. And hopefully the numbers are better. We certainly like them to be better, but you know, we only have the data that we have in front of us to make those decisions. So we're trying to make the best decisions that we can make right now.
Let's talk about Initiated Measure 22 and the impact on the budget of the repeal of it. So that gets into the democracy credits, which was constitutionally challenged. If that had not been constitutionally challenged, if it would have stood, what would have been the impact on the state budget?
Well, that would have had a $5 million a year impact, I believe, on the state budget. The constitutionality question came was whether or not the public could obligate those dollars or whether or not it had to be approved by the appropriations process. So that's where your challenge would have been there, was the big constitutional challenge, because the argument is, according to the Constitution, that those dollars could not be obligated. That was probably, you know, I've been for ethics reform, but that was the one part of that Initiative Measure 22 that gave me heartburn. But that was just because I understood the legal side of that. They repealed it, so it really hasn't been an issue. What IM-22 has done, and I have seen some improvements, is that we have actually had to visit the issue of ethics and conduct and accountability, which is something that this body has been unwilling to do over the years. So, you know, to the voters of South Dakota, I say thank you, because this issue has been, we've tried to get at this issue year after year. We did the first time I was in the legislature, and basically we were told by the majority that we can police ourselves, that we don't need these types of laws. So if it hadn't been for Initiative Measure 22, we wouldn't have gotten some of the products like House Bill 1076 through this year, and some of the limits that we have been able to get on lobbyist gifts, that kind of stuff.
More conversations to be had, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think that it looks like there's going to be a summer study to look at some of the campaign finance issues. Senate Bill 54, which came from the Secretary of State's office, didn't really offer any limits, and that's what we were originally looking for. It was the attempt was to amend it and reflect what the voters had voted for in IM-22, but that failed. So it looks like we'll be discussing it more, and it'll be an issue again in this next legislative session.
All right, Dan Ahlers from Del Rapids, that's representing District 25, calling in from Pierre. Busy day. We appreciate you taking time out for us, Dan. Come back anytime and talk budget with us so we all understand it.
Well, thank you for having me.